And tonight we are live with LEP Productions, also known as the 3J's, correct?
That's correct.
How you doing, guys?
We're known as a lot of things. We'll just say that one because it's polite. Right.
Oh, I don't give a shit. You can be as rude and crude as you want to be. It doesn't bother me any.
We're not censored here.
And this is not censored or anything, so you want to start cussing, start cussing.
we want to thank you guys for having us on.
It's been nice. It's been real, but Jay's going to get in trouble.
No, not going to get in trouble. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to talking with you guys.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm liking some of your displays you got in back of you there, Jason.
That's our little girl Jezebel. We take her everywhere. We got a little story on her. Follow her chronicles on our YouTube page, LEP Productions.
She give you activity.
She's crazy. We found her, like I said, we've filmed about six chronicles with her, and she's. She attracts people. She attracts things. She attracts other dolls with her too. She's a handful.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, she's fun. We take her. We built her an outhouse, and we take her on the road with her. And the deal is, you got to hold her and get a picture of her or picture with her, and then you sign the outhouse showing that you were part of her little journey. So. We're going to hit the road here, still finalizing a couple of different conventions and a couple of different shows, but we'll be hitting the road here soon, and she'll be with us.
Yeah.
She's going down in March?
We got one in March, and I'll let you talk about that one.
I'll be willing a little bit.
Right. But, yeah, we're hoping to get up there to Wisconsin for one this year. I'm in talks with some people up there, and we've got some other stuff here in Ohio. I think it's in Racine.
Racine.
Oh, that's not too far. Yeah. That's not too far from me at all.
I'm talking with Ron.
Racine's, that's just over just like in between Illinois and Milwaukee there, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm talking with a promoter there who's putting on a show. We're trying to hammer out the details and get that done, but looks like we'll be there. We've got some here in Ohio that we do, so she'll be back on the road. She's been all over the place. So
She gets around.
That's cool.
So, all the posters behind him with all the movies he's been in, because he's our movie.
I see this. He has sequel. Cruel Summer 2.
Yeah, the one next to it. So the one, this one here is the original Cruel Summer.
Right.
And then Cruel Summer 2. Cruel
Summer 2.
Those are both streaming on Tubi. And then we've started filming Cruel Summer 3. And I leave at the end of the month to finish that up with Los Bastards Productions, Scott Tepperman from Ghost Hunters International, him and Jim O'Rear. Have that production company. I've done a lot of work with them. I'm helping produce this one along with acting in this one. So, there's other ones back there. Hell's Bells is another one of them.
Hell's Bells. That's above the, looks like Jesus playing with the Infinity.
Yep, that's my Jesus board. That's a Ouija board. I make custom.
It's got Jesus on it.
Right. I make custom Ouija boards as well. Original wooden. About regular wooden style boards. I've got a ton of them up here, but I've made over the last few years, I've made a ton of boards for a lot of different people. So I also collect them any chance I get, but some other autographs, some other pictures. I help run a location here, Collingwood Arts Center in Toledo, Ohio. It's 80,000 square feet of investigative space. And I was able to work with Ghost Hunters to get them out there their first season back when they came back from Ghost Nation. We had them, and, They did an episode out there. So that's some of those pictures there. But I got, I mean, there's tons of pictures all around the room here.
It's cool. The thing that caught my eye, though, was your Jesus board there.
a few years ago, and it's actually still in the wrapping. I haven't even got it out yet, but I saw it, and I saw some people collecting it, so I'm like, you know what, I'll get one.
Well, I was just wondering, because that looks, I didn't catch that it was a Ouija board. I seen that it was like Jesus in front of the infinity.
Right. Yep. No, it's a talking board or a spirit board, however you want to call it. Ouija board, spirit boards, you know.
But it's a good one because it's got Jesus on it.
That's right. It's not the devil. It's not the devil, Bobby.
Come through that one.
Nope. That one's up here. Got to keep them two separate from each other. Start fighting.
Nah, man. They're just a tool. That's all I look at them as, being a tool to be able to use. I've got two of them. Both of them are the Parker Bradley ones, and you know, one of them glows in the dark.
Gotcha. I've
actually thought about making my own board, though.
Well, you send me your design, and I'll make it for you.
I got the stuff here. I can make it. I just can't draw for shit.
Gotcha.
I've got about eight of his boards all around me right now, hanging on the walls, everything else. And I do everything I'm not allowed to do, like, you know, looking through the planchette. Don't do that. You'll see a demon.
Nah. You know what's fun is whenever you're 8 years old and you play with a Ouija by yourself.
Oh, that's what you guys call it nowadays.
Yeah, it's not Netflix and chill, Jay. It's play with Ouija boards.
Yeah. that's what I did. I was 8 years old and had the Ouija. I had it sitting out, and I was playing with it all by myself. Sat there for about 4 hours in the same position, just horsing with it. And then the last thing I remember it telling me is it wanted me to go to hell with it.
I said, okay.
Right.
I told it I couldn't at this point in time because I had other things I had to do.
I'm busy. I got school in the morning. Can't do that.
Well, I can't go to hell. The devil's still got a restraining order against me.
Right.
Well, yeah, he filed it with me.
Yeah, I got one of the shirts on now, but we make merchandise. It's a Keep Calm and Ouija sweatshirt. Then it's got a Ouija board on the back of it. Like I said, with the production company, we do a lot. We've got 13 different films in the catalog right now. Plus filming other things. We've filmed paranormal series called Paranormal Mysteries that we've done. That's out on our YouTube channel. We travel all over doing conventions. We're doing some other filming now. We do our own filming. Plus we do t-shirts, Ouija boards. Joe will be on here when he gets done with work. He's doing candles and all kinds of different things. We do, we do glasses. We make these glasses. We do a ton of different merchandise, a ton of different stuff all the time. So we constantly have things out. We're constantly on the road. We're constantly traveling. We have Bodine the Bigfoot that travels with us. We've taken him from Ohio to Iowa to Michigan to
Bodie.
There's the one and only bobblehead that exists of Bodine the Bigfoot.
Wow.
And we travel with him. Like I said, we travel with Jezebel. And then we work, and we all have wives and lives and kids and all that stuff too. So we're constantly doing something. We're busy all the time, and we enjoy it.
And trying to get busier.
Right.
Well, that's best way to do, man. That's how life is. You got to do what you're passionate of doing and what you love doing, and just keep plugging away at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always on the go.
It sounds like we should have came talk to you, Jason, when Joe was trying to put that documentary together.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys ever
hunting the beast documentary.
If you guys ever want to do anything, just let us know.
We did the same thing early on. I did it more to protect us and whatever show, or because before this we were pissing people off.
Yeah, that's
pretty easy to do nowadays, though, if you consider it. You know, it's pretty easy to do.
Then we'd all work well together because we piss a lot of people off. Trust me.
Well, we were just talking our minds and telling the truth from what we thought was the truth, you know.
Yeah. They were telling our truth, the perspective of truth that we thought was right.
We do it all the time. That's why we stay in trouble all the time. There's not a day goes by that somebody's not throwing us under the bus or something. And the last three or four people that threw us under the bus or something, we try and make spoof videos about it and made fun of it because we don't give a shit. We don't care.
So we formed a production company so that everything goes under that umbrella.
Sure.
You know, so the production company, which is Utterly Insane, Insane Productions, that's an LLC.
Yep.
So, and then everything's under that.
That's exactly what I did, or we did, with LEP Productions. I made it an LLC about a year and a half ago, and I run and we funnel everything through LEP Productions.
Right.
And it runs through the LLC. It runs itself. And I mean, we've got a lot of different big things coming for this production company that's in the works right now. There's a lot of things that take time because when we do something, we want to do it. We want to do it right. We want to make sure everything's done correctly. And when we put it out there, it's, you know, it's for everybody.
Right.
We constantly piss people off. Shit, when we first brought, because we've done shows and podcasts for years, and we stepped away for a little while. Obviously, family and things. When it comes down to it, that takes precedence before everything else. And we finally brought the show back, Stirring the Pot. We do it every Tuesday night, and it's exactly what it is. We stir the pot. We
any pot.
call it out as we see it. Sure, you know, cryptid, UFO, conspiracy theories, daily shit. Whatever it is, we talk about. We open up the chat rooms and everything for people to ask questions. We don't put up with any bullying or any kind of that shit in there. But we want everybody to come and talk about it so that everybody can get everybody's different perspectives.
Yep.
And shit, within the first, what was it, Jay? The first two or three shows, we were getting shit from Facebook telling that we had violated this and violated that, and somebody tried to ban us and somebody tried to shut us down. And
it's the first show back.
Wow.
It's, you know, it is what it is, but we tell the truth. We tell, you know, we ask the questions that people are afraid to ask.
Right. And you tell the truth on the perspective of how you see it to be true. Is that correct?
That's pretty much. Yeah. But there's perspective truth, and then there's reality. And sometimes I get in trouble because reality outweighs your perspective.
And true. People don't want to that is actually a truth right there.
Yeah, that's pretty much why we were getting in trouble, because we were talking politics and religion and things like that. And
they don't discuss politics because I could give a shit about them. They're all fucking crooks and liars. Damn, I don't give a shit about your eye. Rich people care about poor people. Kiss my ass.
Nope. They don't give a damn. They don't give a shit.
Live longer, back up the retirement age, work longer, die old, pay more taxes. That's all they care about.
I think what it was is when I was talking religion, that's whenever I really piss people off.
I get in trouble for the religion discussion because I make fun of all of them. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think one of the most religions I have the most respect for. I've been following stuff as the Sikh. They don't care how you get there, what name you give him, as long as you take your path and you take a path of righteousness and towards God. That's pretty simple to me. Now the bullshit, now the you got to give me this and give me that, and we're done with that. So I get joked for it all the time. Usually we start a religion, Jason just goes, "Oh shit."
No, and that's the thing. I mean, I was born and raised Catholic, so that's my upbringing. But I've come to understand that is not the only religion out there. That's not the only way of life or the only belief out there. And who am I to tell you that you're wrong in what you believe. I've over the years come up with, I don't care what political party you're in. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care where you lay down at night. I don't care about your income. I don't care who's your husband or wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. Are you a good person? Do you treat people good? You know, are you doing that kind of thing? Then you're welcome to me. If you're an asshole and you're not going to treat people with respect and you're going to be a dickbag, then I got no time for you. It's got nothing to do with any of the other shit. I don't care.
Unfortunately, I am an asshole, but I'm a nice asshole.
Yeah. Right? Well, I know
about that. Well, in the paranormal, especially, there's a lot of bullying. There's a lot of that type of shit.
I don't stand for that myself. If I see it, I'll call it out
We call it out daily to the point where we'll invite you on our show. Come talk to us. If you're degrading this person so bad that you want to talk all that shit on Facebook or on whatever social platform you got, then come on and talk. Let's get it all out in the open. Let's get it all out there and let's talk about it. Come be a guest on the show.
Right. Put it on another platform. Platform might have a larger viewership.
We'll be more than happy to put you on our platform and talk about it.
Bring it to a perspective where you want to discuss it, to where you don't only discuss it on your platform, to where you only have your little cronies that always want to pat you on the back and touch your little ass and make you feel like something special. There are other people with other opinions. And if you're not man enough or woman enough or whatever to stand up and back up what you got to say, then you need to shut your damn mouth.
Well, yeah, no, I get that.
Well, everybody in the paranormal world has an opinion because really nothing's been proven yet. It's all theories.
Well, I mean, and I don't know what kind of avenue you want to go with this show, but you use the terms experts and all that shit in the paranormal field. I don't know how you can call yourself an expert in any of it. We know nothing about it. We know very little about any of it.
Right.
But you sit there and call yourself an expert. You call yourself all this shit because you've been on TV, because you wrote a book, what makes you an expert in any of this shit?
Wrote a book.
Other than if you're one of those guys or anybody that makes equipment. Okay, let's say you're making paranormal equipment, and I know a ton of people out there that do. That's fantastic. You know how to make the equipment. You know how to make it work with that kind of stuff. And that's great. And I applaud you. You know more about that than I do. Doesn't make you an expert in anything.
Nope.
Doesn't make you an expert in the paranormal because you can build lights, because you can build gadgets, because you can build that kind of stuff. You're better at building stuff. And there's a lot of really good equipment out there. And there's a lot of really knowledgeable people out there that know, you know, the scientific ways about things and, you know, radio waves and frequencies and all that stuff. And I get that. And that's fantastic. And I'm glad that they're bringing some of that to the field. But it doesn't make you an expert. It doesn't make you any of that because we know nothing about it or very little about it.
Right.
And that's the part that just drives me nuts is, that, you know, I'm a paranormal expert. No, you're not. No, you're not. And
there's I challenge anybody. There are experts
in the paranormal, but there are no paranormal experts.
Correct.
There's experts who are videographers. There are people that are experts.
Yeah, on zoologists.
There's things. There's all kinds of experts in the paranormal field, but there are no paranormal experts. There's a difference.
Yeah, there is. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much of knowledge you have of a specific subject or all subjects in the paranormal field or any of that. As little as we know and understand of the paranormal field, there is no way you can become an expert in any of it.
Not at this point in time for what we have.
No. And it won't happen in our lifetime. Hell, it probably won't even happen in our children's lifetime because this is such an open, raw, constantly changing field that
I would disagree with that. I feel that it could happen within our lifetime. I think it could happen within our children's lifetime. I agree with you on the fact that it won't, for the fact of ego. And the fact that most people are playing silly ass things, doing silly ass little things to try to improve things that are absolutely not, have nothing to do with or no bearings with it. They take the dreamers and they change it to different shapes and sizes, and that's almost blinking lights, and call it a new name and jack up the price on it. And it's proving nothing so far. There's no true scientific to it in the study of it. I agree with that part of it. But I think that it could, if people would actually start to work together on a true scientific level with their heads out of their asses and out of their egos.
Sure.
Well, yeah.
I think paranormal equipment, a lot of times, in my opinion, and again, strictly my opinion, I think it's so misused that it's, I think paranormal equipment should be used to back up feelings of what's happening or experiences that you're having with the equipment. I think that a lot of times you get people there and they turn on all their equipment, set it all up, and then they just sit and watch the equipment. I personally think that
you interact with stuff.
You're the best piece of equipment.
And that's exactly what I was sitting here thinking, that the absolute best piece of equipment anybody can have on an investigation is themselves. Because exactly. Of our sensories, our ability to pick up on things as a human being are greater than most machines are.
Right.
But we go back to the original statement that those pieces of equipment only register in certain things. It's our interpretation of what they're registering.
Exactly.
They go read an EMF field, whether it be something shifting under the soil, whether it be, I even went to the point that I would actually see if I had a high spike in EMS, I would go back to the NASA webpage and see if there's a solar flare at X amount of time before that happened, because that could happen. You can have a hard enough solar flare that could actually trip it here on this fucking plant because you get bombarded by that EMF field and things. There's so many things that outside the variable that most people don't even think of that
have. Right. And that's kind of what happened with Joel and myself. We had a place, it's right here, actually pretty near us. It's Aslan State Park. And there are no power lines running through this thing. There are no underground overhead or anything. The only thing you're going to have is maybe a power line out by the road. And we were far enough away from the road, we're not going to pick up on this. So we're on one of the burial mounds. I've got the camera. He's got the EMF meter. The EMF meter, part of the way up on the stairs, is going absolute apeshit crazy. It is spiking out like crazy. So he puts it down and I'm filming it. We're in the middle of a field pretty much on this burial mount, effigy mount. And there are literally no lines above us, no lines below us.
And there was no one else
causing that. So at that point, we're thinking, what's causing that?
And at that time, there was very few public people there in that part.
Actually, I think there was only one couple, and they were off way off in the distance.
They were down by that one building area, the one that had the one side that had the building.
So to point on what Jay was just saying, I didn't even think about that, like solar flare or anything. That's a possibility. But then again, too, I'm filming with the camera. So we have this as a document, and then when he got home, it was his camera. When he got home, he goes to pull the information off.
Brand new camera, brand new battery, brand new card. Everything was tested before we even left.
Yep.
And the card itself was corrupted. I couldn't even read it in the camera. Couldn't
pull anything off of it.
Now let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Joe. And I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, go ahead.
Did you format the card before you started filming?
Oh, yeah. It was all formatted.
I'm asking because some people will,
right.
Watching this.
Yeah. To give it a little background.
Because if you don't format it, obviously, I mean, it could corrupt the file.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. We tested the camera. We tested the camera. We tested the card. We formatted it then to test it. And then before we started anything out there, we reformatted it again just to make sure that everything was good.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then, when we get back, it won't let any of the information.
But it was
there. It was all corrupt.
It was that, and it was the voice recorder I had too, that I didn't get anything off of that because that was corrupt as well.
Were you able to play it back through the?
Nope.
No.
Did I've you? Tried everything. And I'm what you call a computer genius.
Okay.
I've been. Yeah. Fuck you, Mark. I've been around computers for a long time. Okay. This one here next to me, that this is everything runs off of, it was custom built. But yeah, I went through every possibility I had.
Okay. Because, and the reason I'm asking why again is
happening
is because people watching this, and this is what we do on our show. We ask the questions that, that people are going to, so most when you, right. Well, when you got home after you filmed it and you got home, did you try to play it on your recorder first, or did you download it?
That was the first thing. No, I didn't download. I was actually, I tried to. I was trying to get it to my computer so I could look at it at a bigger screen.
Okay, so do you still have that? Do you still have the memory card that you've put into your computer that is now
probably somewhere?
Okay.
I put a X on it, but I didn't throw it away.
Okay. Cause I have my son built my stuff for editing and all that stuff. So I have a personal built computer as well. And I have taken memory cards that I've done all the same thing to and put it in my tower and went to download it. And it read corrupt.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not quite sure what happened. I've given it to a buddy of mine, Dave Misko, who is one of our editors for the Paranormal Mysteries series. He was able to put it into some software that he has, because that's what he does. And he was actually able to pull that and find the corrupt and switch it back so that you have it. So
that would be cool.
That's my question is, I don't know if that's what happened to yours, because it has happened to me before where I've taken it straight out of the camera, downloaded into my tower. And when I downloaded into the tower, it said corrupt file and wouldn't pull anything up. So if you still have it and we can talk about this off air, but if you still have it, I would love to get my hands on it, because I think that I can find your file for you.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
That would be,
you'll have to talk to him.
That would be awesome, because that particular thing, we've never had it happen again, and we've been back out there like two or three times since then, Mark. I think
we've only been back out there like once.
Twice.
Maybe twice.
I think it's a total of three times, and the first time everything got corrupt. Yeah. So we had to go back, and then we went back.
I know the second, time.
Times.
Yeah, the second time we went out there, we actually took the trails down to where the river is there, and we kind of walked up back up and around. And one of the trails coming away from the river, it's kind of a curve. You know, so you're walking away from the river at a curve through some woods.
Gotcha.
And it's a decent-sized trail where you can actually take a vehicle down there if you need it. If you were one of the park rangers, you'd be able to take a vehicle down there. But so we're walking along. Him and his wife are walking ahead of me, and me and my girlfriend are walking behind us. And as we're walking, out of my peripheral vision, I get glimpses of some sort of shadow following us. And every time I turn around, I had my camera running too at the time, because I'd gotten myself a camera after, by that time, and I had my camera running and would pan around, and by the time I get around with it, nothing there, but I know damn good well I kept seeing something back there,
right?
And then
those are all your personal experiences, which I hold better than any documented anything. I enjoy personal experiences better than anything. I mean, obviously a good EVP or something caught on camera so everybody can see it is great, but I love personal experiences more than anything.
Well, yeah, and the personal experiences are the better ones, because
well, that makes it more
that much Well, it makes it that much more better too. But it's something that you've actually experienced at that point.
Yeah, you're not out there sitting there for hours and getting nothing, you right. know, which is what, you know, 90% of this time you can be out there sitting there all by yourself, talking to yourself and get nothing. It's happened.
Absolutely.
You know,
sounds like most of my damn life.
You can't sit there and expect to go to a location and get something on the very first time. It's not always going to happen that way.
I know you can room for 40 minutes with 50 people in that room, and he got 10,000 EVPs.
Go figure.
Yeah, special clairaudient hearing. I told him he had special bullshit.
Right?
He got mad.
He did get mad.
We've been to different locations, done different stuff, and I've had my favorite thing when we're using equipment is when I can actually pinpoint the same event happening and being able to find it on two to however many more pieces of equipment, you know, coalesce it together.
Validation is all about
yeah. Sure. Total and, validation.
Well, that's what I was saying with using the equipment that way. Yeah. I like using equipment for that. When we're investigating, Jay's wife is a medium, psychic medium, and you know, awesome. it's cool to have her experiences and then be able to back it up with, you know, something with the equipment or an EVP or something happening there. So now you have more than just lights blinking.
That right. Yeah. Is, yeah, you know, definitely. That's
telling the story. That's what I like about the equipment. I don't necessarily just like setting up a shitload of equipment. Hey, there's my boy. Mm-hmm. I don't like setting up equipment and just leaving it and then depending all on the equipment. I think you're doing yourself a disservice when you investigate that way.
Well, yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, we actually went on an investigation last year. Was it last year, Joe?
Which one?
The year before last. With
last
Dale.
Year, we didn't go on much of anything.
No, it was the year before last. That's right. It was the year before last. When we went to the crash site.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy Holly crash
site. Buddy Holly crash site.
You know, we're out there. I think it was it June or July that we were out there?
It was like, yeah, it was, I think it was,
I think it was July.
June or July. Yeah, maybe. It was July.
I think it was mid-July. We were out there.
After the 4th.
And, you know, we're there. The guy we went with, he brought his crew with him. And I had two voice recorders with me. Joe had his camera. Dale was there with his spirit box, pretty much. It's a phasma box. And they were doing a session, and I had my voice recorders going. My girlfriend was holding one with it recording. I had the other one with it recording. Joe had his camera going. Well, my one recorder decided it didn't want to work.
Oh, wow, Lisa.
Which was kind of weird. That's my girlfriend. But anyway, the one that she was working that decided didn't want to work. Now I caught an audio on mine that nobody else caught on any of their equipment. Joe had his camera going. There was nothing on his in his part of the audio of his camera. Dale never got anything on his recordings, but on my voice recorder that I was holding, I caught what sounded like a Cessna plane going over top.
Hell yeah.
And nobody that was there physically remembers hearing a plane
or seeing one
fly above our head. It was a clear day, and it was pretty
crash.
And it was pretty quiet where we were, you know, out in this cornfield where the crash took place. It was pretty quiet area, so we would have definitely heard that.
Is there a memorial there?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a memorial. Yes,
there's a memorial there.
I don't know. I'm not allowed.
But you know what I would like to do is, he said February 3rd. So I mean, obviously next February. but go to these places and it's, you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, that's morbid. But I, you know, if you're trying to investigate it and you want to, you know, and try to get the best evidence, try to go with the best at that day, at that time. When did it happen? When did it crash? When did it, you know, when did this burn down? When did this shooting happen?
A loop.
Exactly. Yeah. So you never know what you're going to catch. And I love to start.
Cold. I don't think so.
No, Joe wouldn't be able. Yeah, Joe wouldn't be able to do that. But
I'm allergic to the winter. I hibernate.
It happened like she. Like
and you're in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Wisconsin.
Oh shit!
So at least it would be February.
I missed three winters. I spent three winters in the hospital, three in a row. So I kind of lost my tolerance for the cold. Plus, I'm old.
So you get out like 2 months out of the year then, huh? Because I think winter's basically everything but 2 months in Wisconsin.
Nah, we could drag him out a little more than that. But.
Oh, shit.
But no, like a third, and I believe it was late in the evening, like 11, 12 o'clock, something like that.
It was after
their show in Clearwater.
There was a blizzard going on.
Yep. Right. It was after their show in Clearwater, and then they got on the plane. They were flying
the plane.
Right, and they were gonna, because they were having issues with the bus, obviously, and they were gonna fly to Moorhead, Minnesota, and stay over there while they waited for the bus to come up.
Think about how Dukes of Hazzard would have been different if that coin flip was different.
Right.
Oh, I know.
Because your balladeer and the guy playing the guitar would never have been, because he was the one that lost that coin flip that day.
Yeah, and I was gonna say there was a lot of different seat switching that happened. Yep. No, you take it. No, you want to go with him. I'll stay back. You go.
Yep.
Yeah, there was a lot of that too.
Yeah, so it came down to a coin flip between Richie Valance and Waylon Jennings, and you know.
Yep. Valance won that flip
.
No, he didn't.
Lost his life. He lost the flip.
And we won Waylon.
Get it? Yeah, because you know, I mean, in that case you wouldn't want to win that flip, but you know.
No,
but they didn't know that.
Yeah, nobody knew, but he, you know, according to, if you ever watched the Richie Valance movie, La Bamba, he kind of had like premonitions of a plane crash.
I'm more of a Waylon guy anyway, so.
Oh, and then later that day, when we got over to the school, I had five pieces of equipment subsequently fail on me.
That was your own damn fault.
Joe says operator error.
The freaking knees, man. Just
no, crazy. the son of a bitch provoked what was ever there.
Now, did he really?
So it was like karma biting him in the ass, because he had to provoke the shit that was there.
I had a body camera.
Fuck you. You ain't catching no evidence.
I had a body camera. I and this is weird because I got no video whatsoever on this body camera. But I had audio.
Are you guys hitting the record buttons? I mean, let's get this out here.
Yes. Yes. My voice recorder that worked out at the crash site decided it didn't want to record. My regular camera, I was able to record with it up until the first battery, and then I changed batteries on it. And then it showed that it was recording, but everything was corrupt after that.
Keep corrupting the evidence, man.
He got locked out of his laptop.
My laptop, I couldn't log into it. And I know I typed that damn password correctly.
I got locked out of the house before.
Right? That's a whole different thing, Jay. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah. It was flying crawling through the window.
And see, what I like to do with that is then start going back and trying to figure out why. Like, has it happened to any at any other investigations? Was it only at this place? So
it was only at the school. He got into his laptop the next day when you tried to log into it the very first time, the very first try, with the exact password he was using the day before, he got into it.
So you're blaming this on the spirit not letting you into it because you were provoking.
Yeah, pissed something off.
That's the only way I could think of why everything quit. Because
when it was only his equipment now.
Yeah, it was only my equipment. Everybody else that was there. Fine.
Well, so when I got maybe it did. I always, and again, I'm gonna play
devil's advocate. Go ahead.
sitting at home, watching TV, with the wife, hanging out, having a great time, having a drink, whatever, and the light bulb blows in your lamp. You look at your wife and you're like, God, man, it must have been an old bulb, whatever. We got to change the light bulb. You go change the light bulb. Same scenario, but you're doing an investigation. You're asking questions. You're doing all that stuff. Same light bulb blows the same way. We initially say, it's got to be ghosts. It's got to be a spirit it's upset with me about whatever. It's got to be this. It's got to be that.
At that point, it's where I'd be like, all right, how old is that light bulb?
And again, I'm saying flickering
first.
Sure, I'm just saying I ask the questions that people would want to ask. Far from me to say that what you had wasn't a paranormal experience. I wasn't there. You were.
No. Yeah.
And if that's what was going on there, then I would actually think that that's probably one of the coolest goddamn experiences I've ever had. Because if I'm provoking you enough to piss you off that you're going to shut down all my shit.
Yep.
Yes. That's yep. Badass. Yep. Like that. You can talk about that forever. You know, well, that's cool.
That's the goofiest thing though. I mean, nobody else had problems with their equipment. It was my equipment.
No, we had the other thing.
I walked into the back room all by myself without anybody with me, without any of these guys even knowing I was doing it. I did it on my own. I walked back there and I provoked. I called it out. And then all of a sudden, all my equipment just stopped working.
Was she truly provoking? I mean, were you cussing it and calling it names and everything else? You just trying to encourage it to make more activity?
No, I was cussing it, calling it names, calling it a coward, telling it was afraid to show itself and come out and do anything and everything else.
So you were doing all the stuff you shouldn't have been doing, according exactly. to Paranormal 101 investigation.
Exactly. Well, you I also doing... did it. I also
kind of paranormal experts
to prove right? a point. I did it because I wanted to try and prove a point. Was it
that your shit?
Was there work? Seriously something? No. Was there seriously going to be something there? And if it did have the reputation that everybody kept saying it had. Would it actually target me?
And it sounds like it did.
Exactly. My point right there.
It doesn't matter where we go. Jason and I, and Joe's about pretty much as bad as we are, but I've been doing it for years since I got into the paranormal. I tell them they can kick me, hit me, scratch me, push me, channel through me, possess me, whatever they want to do. 15 years, not a damn thing's happened yet. I wear no protections, take no talismans, say no prayers before or after, nothing like that. Michelle was there with me and Jason sitting in a death chair and I with it. Everybody that sits in this chair dies within a week. We both sat in and did a session.
Yeah.
We're both
still here. Okay.
Yep. At a cemetery, this was supposedly a death chair that you don't sit in. And I mean, we filmed it and it's, you know.
I heard of that cemetery. Where is that?
Marshall, Iowa.
Yeah, here's the thing. Jay came up with a t-shirt design a few years ago. We made it, and it's hard for me even to keep in stock. I do have some, but I have to replenish it every few months. And it is a bright orange.
That's my nickname for years.
Bright orange, safety orange shirt that says Paranormal Crash Test Dummy on it. And I can't keep that. I can't keep that son of a bitch in stock. We sell it all the time.
I love it.
And it is just it's a great shirt, but it describes a lot of, you know, what.
Over here, outside.
He's doing, and we do together. It's.
We go to location. The first thing we ask him is, where's the spot that nobody wants to go?
Right.
Like, nobody stays in here long. And we put one of us in there immediately in isolation.
Yep.
Here's your camera. You're on your own. Deal with it. Don't cry. If you cry, we're going to film it. Don't give a shit.
Because at the end of the day, isn't that what you're there for?
Yeah.
I honest to God, I cannot stand when you're on an investigation and you're at, you know, you got the one or two people. Oh, I wish somebody'd bang on something. I wish somebody'd make a noise. I wish somebody'd touch me. And then somebody gets touched and everybody runs out and nobody wants to go back in there.
Right. Everybody freaks.
Or the first thing you're there, that's the third question in. Do you want us to leave? No, I never ask them to leave. I tell them if they want me to leave, push me out the door.
Yeah. No.
That's the thing. That's what you're there for. That's what you're wanting. You finally get what you want, and then you run out the door and don't come back. So it's like, then I challenge why you're doing it. What you're looking for.
I went, when we were at that school, you know, we all get there, you know, everybody's doing their thing, unpacking and stuff. It wasn't just our team, there was four of us, because Lisa and Tanya were with us.
Yeah.
And then Dale's team there. So we're unpacking and stuff. We couldn't have been inside the building, that school, for too long. I had to exit because I started feeling sick. But the other thing is, we got stuff happening before we get set up.
Let me ask you this then. When you were feeling sick and you left, did you leave for the night or did you go back
in? Oh, I left for about 10 minutes and then I turned around, got myself back together. And it's like, I know what to expect when I go in there, you know, and I went back in and I finished what I was doing.
Perfect. Cause that's, you know, I've been to, and you know, we went to Prospect Place in Dresden, Ohio. And my initial investigation there was years prior, and it actually, up in the ballroom, made me physically ill. I didn't feel good. It was hard to breathe. It just wasn't a good time. Went out, got my breath, got everything together, went back in, didn't have any problems the rest of the night.
Yeah.
What I don't, and to each his own, and I'm not trying to tell anybody how to investigate. And if you're so uncomfortable that you don't want to go back in, by all means, please don't go back in. If it's making you that uncomfortable, to where you may have anxiety or whatever, please don't go back in. But I always enjoy hearing that people go back out, reset, get your shit together, talk to whoever you need to talk to, have a plan. And they go back in and address what you were feeling or what was happening or what was going on. Because I think a lot of times people have an experience like that. And all of a sudden it's demonic, it's demons, it's negative, it's dark. What if that's the only way that they can get your attention is by making you feel that way? What if the only way they can get your attention is to slam that door? What if when they reach out to touch you, you move and it scratches just like anybody else? Right. Mark, if I were to reach out to grab you to tell you something and you pull away because you're startled and I scratch your arm, well, I'd be like, oh, man, I'm sorry about that. Hey, Jason, no problem. But when you're investigating and that happens, it's, oh, my God, I got scratched. It's got to be a demon. It's got to be something in here that's dark, that's trying to hurt me.
I refuse to believe any of that like that.
And I applaud, people that take a second, try to figure it out, and then go back in and address it, you know. But if that's not something that you can do because, you know, of anxiety or you're just not feeling it, by all means, don't. But I feel that you should always try to go back and address the situation, because I think a lot of times things are misconstrued with what spirits or entities or whatever are trying to relay to us. And I think we have a knee-jerk reaction and label it as something that is completely not.
You ever go on an investigation with me, anything happens like that, I'm not running out of the room. I don't have the flight response to any of this crap because I've been exposed to it for so long, I'm jaded.
I might
jump a little bit in place because it's something that kind of, you know, I wasn't expecting.
Exactly, Janet.
But my feet stay on the ground and I won't be moving from the spot I'm at.
Well, that's just because we're old, Mark. Our brain says we should take off running, but our body's like, no, you ain't. Oh, stay right next to that.
I get choked because I do dumb shit. Like we said, 101, it burnt down, but I was on the second floor there, and there's supposedly a spirit that could move the couch in that room. I stood in front of the window on the second floor, my back to the window, said, "You got enough power to move that couch? Can you push me out the window?" Nothing happened.
Well, now here, and I'm going to tell you guys a fucked up part about that investigation was I was not there at the time. I was watching. He was on a live stream, and he was you know on Facebook doing a live thing and walking around. And I know my brother. I'd walk through the gates of hell with this son of a bitch.
The devil's balls?
Yeah, absolutely. And I could tell he was stuttering and he was missing his words. And it wasn't my brother talking.
It wasn't my ADHD that time?
It was not. To the point where I called his wife, my sis, I called her and said, "Hey, you got to get up and check him out." And she was like, "You know what? We were just watching it. We got to get up there too." He doesn't remember about 3 minutes of the live. He doesn't remember any of it.
And lost the live. It didn't save.
Never saved, never did anything. And he doesn't remember any of it.
Really?
So I personally think that he opened, and we've talked about it, and we both open ourselves up. We both do. And Joe's the same way. When we all go together, we open ourselves up. We don't smudge. We don't do any of that stuff. Not to put anything against any of the crystals or the smudging or the all that stuff.
Do it.
Please do. We do not. I've never. Jay's never. We've actually been pulled aside and just kind of like, "Hey, we just need to do this real quick. If you feel you need to, go ahead. I'm not asking for it. I don't. That's just us. That's just the way we operate."
I respect if people have a prayer circle. I do walk out of the building or whatever, let them do their thing. It's nothing against them or their religion or anything else. I personally am there for that experience, raw and uncut and unfiltered. Let's have it.
Exactly. But I do believe for that 2 or 3 minutes, there was something different going on. And it was obviously, I could see it happening on the live that I actually thought he was having more of a medical issue.
I thought he was having a stroke.
Than anything else. Because have you seen in the last 53 minutes, he doesn't stutter. He doesn't slow down. He doesn't his words. And that's what was happening on this live. He was like kind of disoriented and kind of just like out of it. And like I said, to the point where I called his wife and said, "You got to get up there."
Get out a window.
And they got up there and got him, and the live ended, and that live was lost. You can't find it.
That is weird as hell that live never recorded, because as far as my experience is, when you go live on Facebook, it's there.
Oh,
nowadays,
yeah.
Yep. Nowadays, you can have it set to be deleted after some time, but this was back before all that. When you went live, it stayed there until
it stayed there. You can't find it. It wasn't there. And trust me, I know people that know how to recover things. Gone.
I wanted to watch it because I thought this was full of shit.
That was the part that scared me was the fact that he did not remember the 3 minutes of when, because he remembered everything up to that. And then remembered everything after that.
There's a shadow.
He did not remember that 3 minutes of,
on the other side of the room. Somebody saw it on live. They said, dare you to go there and sit in that chair where that shadow was at. I'm like, okay.
So here's my beautiful wife. She joined us for a minute.
She puts up to you all the time. That's why she's here.
She's at the hockey game. She's at a hockey game, for God's sake.
Well, these guys, and she, you and I, we don't deserve it. We give her shit, make her stressed.
Right? Yeah. Our wives are just like, oh God, please don't.
So you're saying that your wives are saints.
They are.
Mine is.
And I know Joel will say the same thing for his. But here's the thing though. I'm speaking at least for myself. I couldn't do any of the stuff that I'm doing right now. And with the filming, with all the stuff that I do, I couldn't do it without my beautiful wife. And Tessa. Yeah. I'm sure Tessa was watching. I'm sure Michelle was watching.
I like to push the envelope on everything though. So it's not just the paranormal. I've always been this way. I'm ADHD as hell. And I have absolutely no lick of sense or no fear and don't give a damn. I've cut off fingers and everything else. I still use the same equipment that I kept fingers off with. It is what it is. Have fun. Uh-huh. Do what you're going to do. If you're not pushing the limits of yourself, then you're not really challenging yourself. So you're not really going to another level, in my opinion. If you only get to the spot where you're always at, where you're always comfortable at, where are you going to go to next? How are you going to expand and learn off of the situation? You're not. So I push people around me. Ask my wife and anybody that investigates with me. They say, man, I can't go any further. I'm like, wait, can you take a half step? Like, I can do a half step. I'm like, yeah. Because they got half step, they're going to get three more. I guarantee I get three more steps out of them.
Well, and that's the thing. And that's what a lot of people are like, oh, you're being disrespectful or you're doing. No, we just push you past your comfort zone. And then we get you into that realm. And then you're like, you know what? It's not that bad. So now you open that up. So now they start going again until they hit that wall again. Will you take another step with me? And we'll never ask anybody to do anything that we wouldn't do ourselves.
And the moment never. You say that you
God, can't that go sounds familiar, Joe.
The moment you say you can't go any further, that you're at your limit, that's where I start. That's where Jason starts. That's where Joe starts. We start where everybody else stops.
Yep, and then we'll go. And if you want to follow, then step in behind and follow me. And we'll go, or follow Jay, or follow Joe. And we'll go. We'll keep going. But we'll never, ever, ever ask you to do something in anything. I mean, I get these things down here because I eat hot shit all the time. We do food challenges and shit. We used to. Whatever. I will never, and Jay or Joe will never ask you to do something that we would not do ourselves. Period. And that's, I mean, we stand by that. I'm not going to say, oh, hey, go jump off of that over there and then stand back and laugh when you do and be like, I'd never jump off that bitch. I'll jump off that son of a bitch tomorrow. It doesn't matter.
There's someone said, oh, what's that, Lassie? There's a ghost in the well. Jay will go in after it. And I will.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Let's get this. I don't care. We're here to experience it and to live life and we're trying to live our lives as best we can and experience the afterlife. So we have some kind of knowledge or understanding or whatever you're looking for. Everybody's looking for something different. Me, I'm all about the experience. I want to experience and see what's going to happen and how far I can push things. It doesn't matter what it is. The only thing I haven't done in my life that I said I wanted to do is jump out of a plane. I broke too many things. Now I'm not doing it no more.
Well, I mean, exactly, Mark and Joe. Why do you investigate? What gets you up in the morning when it's the day of the investigation, and you're putting all your camera equipment and you're putting all your shit together in that box or the car, and you're heading out? Why are you doing it? For what? What's the end goal? What are you trying to get?
My end goal is to get as much proof as possible, so I can possibly figure out what's here, what's there.
What about you, Joe?
I know personally in my soul, I know that there are things unexplained in this world. And I want
to... like you. We're still trying to explain you. No. We don't know where you come from yet. You're not of this earth.
Venus.
So I'm looking for answers. I love the history of some of the locations we've been to, you know. So a lot of it's, you know, looking for answers, learning the history. You know, the exploring, the experience. I mean, be places I haven't been before.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's each person, my thing was, each person has their own reason as to why we do what we do.
I want to be YouTube famous.
Right? I want to be a content creator. You know, it's silly. It's silly kind of things. But everybody has their own reason as to why they're doing what they do. And that's my thing. I'm a huge history guy. I love the history part of it. But Jay and I also like pushing the envelope. We like pushing, you know, the stuff that people aren't going to want to do. We're going to go do it. We did a show the other night about the do's and don'ts, about paranormal investigating and who set up those rules. Like, why can't you have a couple of drinks and go investigate? Well, it's not allowed. You can't do that. But why can't you?
Who
says that you can't do that? You're not allowed to use Ouija boards at locations. Why? I can use dowsing rods. I can use K2 meters. I can use any app that you can find on your phone. I can use all these lights. I can use all this stuff. And I can use all these different, I can ask all these questions and I can go in and provoke and I can do all this. But the second I get a Ouija board out, well, then that's because 1973 Hollywood said that you can't. Why?
Ouijas are just another tool.
It's exactly another tool. And I'm telling you right now, and we talked about this.
Tell us about it. Preach it, brother.
Earlier, I've been making Ouija boards for years. I collect Ouija boards. I have a plethora of Ouija boards. I have yet to this day had an experience with a Ouija board. Have yet. I've sat with people I trust. I've sat and watched people I trust do the whole Ouija board and get answers and talk and communicate. And as soon as I sit down to do it with them or to do it by myself or to do it, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So talking about the Ouija boards?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not talking about anything. I don't know. That's a whole different show.
I'm trying to stay focused.
Now, right. Jay, your mind's kind of going over into the gutter.
Jay's mind stays in
the air. It's in the gutter. Mark, I promise it's in the gutter. Like we got to bring the mind out of it to do this show, because as soon as it shows it, we got to put it back over there.
I tell you, same thing as everybody else. There's like,
it's where it lives.
Stuck, yeah. In my head. 12 of them don't like me, and I don't know which one's me, and I don't give a shit.
Yep, and that's a true statement.
They're all stuck in there going,
so it's, you know, well. But a lot of people have communication with the Ouija board, and I applaud that. That's fantastic.
I want to.
I've been around them for years, and like I said, I custom make them. I make them for a bunch of people that are on the shows, have museums. I make them for a lot of different people.
That's it. Next time I'm at your house, we're getting shit faced and using the Ouija board.
We've done it before.
What kind of wood do you use when you make them?
I use birch. I use birch wood to make them. And like I said, they're fantastic, and they're made to be used, but they're also made to hang them or display them if you want. But I, you know, it's,
I was just curious.
Yeah, no, it's birch. I've tried to use, I've actually made a couple from, I've actually made a couple from actual trunks of wood. The problem is the wood starts splitting over the years and the board splits and it's not usable anymore. So I stopped using that and just strictly with the birch. And I mean, I can stain them. I enjoy doing it. but I also enjoy setting them out at conventions because a lot of times people will be walking down and talking, then they see them and they take 10 feet out and around the fucking table and then come back. Nobody wants to be by them. And again, you can thank The Exorcist. You can thank 1973 Hollywood for it.
Thank Hollywood for the fear of the Ouija board.
And that's what it is. And I don't know. I think that it's another tool. It's a tool that hasn't ever used for ever worked for me, but it's worked for a lot of other people. And I, you know, Joe, why aren't you here? Why aren't you logged in to StreamYard and on this show? That's what I want to know. Well,
we're at the end because we can't go over the hour too much.
Okay.
Yeah, we gotta
stick around. We can still talk.
Talk a bit. You guys want to hang out? You can. So, I know you're an hour ahead of us, right?
Until next Friday, stay safe, and remember anything's possible. Oh, thank you guys for coming on with us.
Thank you.
No, we appreciate the invite. And
be sure to check out LEP Productions. When are you guys on? When are you guys go live?
Every Tuesday night at 9 Eastern. You can find us on several different platforms. Now, we're actually growing. We're going to open up to some other platforms. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for now, and probably more coming.
Cool.
Thanks for joining, guys. It was great seeing a lot of familiar names here in the chat. So, and Mark and Joe, thanks for having us on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right. We are...